In this episode of The Critical Myth, The Critical Myth crew continues with their rundown of the past year's worth of shows, this time focusing on shows that fell in the average range. Here's your trophy for participating. It's episode 461, Towing the Narrative Line.
With episode 461 of The Critical Myth, I am John, your host, and tonight we have...
Edmund from Greenville, just enjoying these early lazy days of summer and looking for something that won't tax me too much.
This is Gary from Jacksonville, and I'm glad we're going to talk about some of the better shows this time around. The last episode was a bit painful.
And this is Bronson from Australia, and yeah, summer. That must be nice.
Yeah, I think there's some kind of song from a really popular animated film that I could break into right now, but I won't. All right.
Can you feel the love tonight?
That wasn't it, but okay. We're feeling a little bit of love for these shows as we go from... I'll say this right now. We've got about nine shows that are on the list. About nine. And it's in this really tight little range of about 7.4 to 7.7. So these are the shows that I would say represent, as I said towards the tail end of last show, that these are the ones that are kind of like our baseline. These are the shows that are just bringing it, usually week after week. They're very consistent, and it's, you know, with a couple minor examples here that are a little bit of outliers, these are shows that probably have been consistent the entire way through, or very similarly as we go. So without too much further ado, Edmund, why don't you go ahead and give a quick disclaimer before we get started?
Sure. We're likely to mention things that happened on these shows during these seasons, so you might be spoiled if for some reason you didn't catch them. So be warned.
That's right. And here's a show that ended a little while ago, so hopefully anyone is caught up who is interested in it. And that's Lost Girls Season 4, which came in at a 7.4, which was actually a slight uptick from the third season of 0.2 points. So actually pretty close to what it did last time. And as I recall, that was a nice jump up from the extremely uneven second season. So it sounds like the fourth season of Lost Girl was on par, but... thoughts on that one? How about you, Brunstum? I know you didn't get a chance to weigh in too often on Lost Girl this season.
No, it was a bit of a mixed bag. It felt like a season of a lot more extremes. There were more episodes that I thought really knocked it out of the park, but there were also more episodes that were really rubbish. And it didn't help that at the end of the season, the big thing that they were working to, the reveal of Rainer and all that stuff, really, just really petered out. Just felt like it came to nothing. It was mostly that end of the season that I thought was where I thought a lot of the weaker aspects lay. And the problem is that this season also really, really reinforced the fact that Bo is probably the least interesting character in the ensemble.
Oh, come on. We all know who is the most interesting on the ensemble.
No, that's exactly the thing. It's just if you weren't sure already, the episode at the beginning of the season where Kenzie is the hero, you kind of come away with it thinking, that would almost be a much better show.
Incidentally, also the episode that got the highest score out of the entire season. Probably not surprisingly, but you mentioned that towards the end it petered out and kind of lost its focus and kind of took a little bit of a dive. And Edmund, actually, your scores for the season reflect that. So what would you add to this?
Yeah, that I mean, certainly the whole plot line with the Wanderer and Rainer and Bo getting all wrapped up in this relationship with him, I mean, to my mind, was taking the show away from what it had built up over those first three seasons, which was this very tight camaraderie and bond between those main characters. And I understand the desire to mix things up sometimes and put your characters in different situations, but this is a case where it's especially with a cast like this, where it's obvious from some of the preseason shows they do and their convention appearances, you know, that there is a very tight camaraderie and bond between these cast members, and I think they'd be well served to actually work on in this coming season, getting back to those core relationships, and not thinking that we have to do something funky and different. And of course, given the finale, they had better rescue Kenzie damn quick. So, if they try and go too long with her not a major part of the show, as we just mentioned, given the strength of that premiere with her at the center of it, it's going to be very painful.
Yeah, I would say so. I remember that. Despite the fact that I liked where the season was going in general, one of my biggest problems was that this season seemed to really have this pattern of introducing elements, characters, plot points, whatever, it didn't really seem to matter, just dropping them into the episodes and then treating them as though they had been there the entire time. And it really just put me kind of on the back, you know, a back foot as far as trying to get a feel for the season, because I always felt like I was trying to catch up with something that had been skipped or had been cut and left on the editing room floor, and they just kind of never took accounting of that. That affected my enjoyment of it, even as I have to recognize that there were a lot of really good things about the season, but that was probably my pet peeve with it. Gary, what would you add to any of all of this?
Oh, well, I do agree. It really felt that Bo had taken a back seat this season. But if I recall correctly, it was because the actress was pregnant and actually missed one or two of the episodes completely. So life gets in the way sometimes of fiction, I suppose. And that's definitely where they sort of swung it away, I felt, from her a little bit, and really did turn the focus on Kenzie, as we were talking about. And overall, I enjoyed it was a good season. I felt it was fairly even, although I wonder if some of our criticisms is that it was less Bo-centric. You know, we had I'm trying to think. Besides Kenzie, we had I'm never good with names. The female scientist, Lauren. We had several Lauren-focused sections or episodes actually as well. And they were giving a lot of the rest of the cast, you know, a chance to shine. And I liked that a lot. I felt it filled out the world a little bit more. I still dislike the uber powerful Faye that always seemed. That seemed to pop up even in this season a little too regularly. I thought they pulled off the Unamens much better than I originally expected them to. They made them a little bit more relevant than just the big baddie of the next three episodes. So overall, I thought it was a well-done show.
Yeah, and again, just to kind of put it all into perspective, this fourth season was, in fact, the highest score that we've had thus far. So even though it had these structural problems and even these narrative problems along the way, it still represented a bit of an improvement over where the show had been previously, when you take it as a whole. So even though some of the episodes had some issues, the quality still seems to be showing itself. Talking about a show that really kind of took a step back, a big step back in the right direction, and hopefully we'll be able to continue that as it closes itself out this season. True Blood, season 6, last summer came in at a 7.4, which was an improvement of 1.4. So almost a point and a half of improvement there. And Gary, I know that you've been watching the show for a while now, and I know that we commiserated over the fifth season and how just lost the series seemed to be. I know that my opinion was that when Alan Ball finally left the building and took a bit of a backseat to others, that it gave them the opportunity to really fix a lot of the problems that he had allowed to fester. And that led to a lot of the things that I think I enjoyed about this season. It really felt like a season that was fixing a lot of the problems. But at any rate, what would you say about this?
Oh, yeah, I agree, too, even if you want to go right to the heart of the name of the show, True Blood. I mean, it really sort of took that little somewhat innocuous thing that supposedly changed the world, or at least the vampire world, and really brought it to the forefront and showed how it was being manipulated and twisted by the humans to try and kill off the vampires. And that for me was a big end they tied up. Eric supposedly dying at the end of the episode was really unexpected for me. That shocked me. So they threw a nice twist into things. They really went forward with this whole, the humans going going after the vampires and, the government being involved and it being a much more highly financed operation than just a few guys in the back of a pickup truck with a shotgun getting drunk going to try and find vampires. It stretched out much further than that, and I enjoyed that depth. We still had some of the, sooky drama, but if it was much more tamed down and probably about the appropriate level. It wasn't quite the lusting after, after vampires that Sookie usually does. It was there somewhat in a caring way, but it wasn't this crazy sort of mindless passion, I guess you'd say. So I liked the direction it went this season, and I mean we all did too, obviously from the scoring we gave it. But yeah, it was nice that they not so much changed it up, but just went down, the street to the left instead of the one to the right.
Yeah, and I know that probably the biggest issue for the season was not the main run of it, but rather probably the last 15 minutes of the season, where they took this huge jump forward in time and kind of changed a whole bunch of stuff and never explained any of it. And then subsequently it was announced that the next 10 episodes are the final episodes of the series. So they have to try to explain this time jump and wrap up the series in a satisfying way all at the same time. And so that's where my concern lies.
Well, this isn't the first time they've jumped the series.
No, but at least they still had like an open-ended maybe 12, 13 episodes of a season to at least explore it and still feel like they had a future, because the series itself was not really looking at an expiration date. But now they are, and I don't know if they knew that when they made that choice. So I think they maybe wrote themselves into a corner a bit. At least that's my concern. I know that we really liked it all right up until the finale, and then the finale kind of let us all down. So we'll see. It, certainly by now, as this goes out, we've seen the season premiere, and we'll probably already be forming our opinions. So there we are on that. Let's see what is next on the list. We have now here's something that again, a show that has become very dependable. Haven season 4. Coming in at 7.5, and that's up a slightly, just a tenth of a point, but that just shows you how consistent the show has been. And very happy to announce that it's coming back for a fifth season, and in fact, this will be getting the same kind of treatment that the fourth season of Warehouse 13 got. It's going to have 20 episodes, 10 each, so whether or not that ends up being the last run for the show, we don't know, but, well, who else watches the show and wants to weigh in on it?
Go ahead.
I thought this was the best season yet.
And yeah, well, it doesn't quite hit what we had as the scores for the second season, but it was pretty consistent with what the overall series average is turning out
to be. It was pretty consistent full stop. Yeah. It didn't have the third season's up and downness. It maintained that balance between the trouble of the week and the overarching story, but the show was further enough along that the overarching story could be more important, could have more of a focus without derailing the entire show. You had a really, really great antagonist. We got more depth and dimension to the main characters. Honestly, I'm surprised this got a slightly less score than season 2, because yeah, this was the best season yet, as far as I'm concerned.
Let's see here. Gary, what would you add to that?
I don't know. I can go quite that far and agree that it was the best season, but we still had a really good season. We're still able to go into more of some of the mystery surrounding Audrey, where you'd almost think that they went through it all, but they still keep finding bits and pieces to take it a little bit further, which is nice. I enjoyed the whole the guard. I enjoyed the whole guard being against Audrey and wanting her dead, and and to remove the problem, and how they didn't become the secret organization anymore, that they were much more out in the open this season. I thought that was a nice change to what the guard had typically been working in shadows and stuff like that. They were much more active, and that was enjoyable. It just, from the beginning of the season with the twist of, coming through the barn, throughout the season, it was just steadily good. I can't say it was ever amazing, but I always wanted to watch it. I was always looking forward to it. They're able to keep off the trouble of the week still, which is nice. I always fear that they're going to fall back into that notch a little bit more. And even when it does come up, they, you know, it's not just the power that's the problem. You know, they keep working through their other issues as well. So it's more of a distraction than a focus, which I like. I think it's a good mix.
Yeah, one thing that I think helps in this regard is that, you know, this isn't a show that allows the mysteries to spool out too long. There is a steady stream of revelation, and this season it was certainly no stranger to that. I think we learned more about the basis of what was going on in this season than ever before, and even to the point where it's one could then go back and watch previous episodes and really start to fit some of the pieces into the puzzle in a slightly different way than expected, and yet you never got the sense that it was running out of things to say. They're doing a very nice job of parsing out the information, and I have a feeling that even if they are not exactly sure when the show is going to end, that they have enough flexibility in how they can handle things to make sure that the show goes out on a positive note, which would be nice. The shows that came out in roughly the same era seem to be having a hard time wrapping up, so it would be nice if this one were able to pull it off. Okay, let's see. Moving on then. From there, we have a new show from last June. It was kind of wrapped up or was introduced. And that is Defiance Season 1, which came in at a 7.5. And I think this one was a little bit of a surprise to us because, again, this was a show that it started off a little bit. We had some doubts about it. And then when we finally got to the series and got through past the pilot, we found that it really was delivering, and we all thought that it was above average. I guess, Edmund, what were your memories of the first season of Defiance?
Kind of in contrast to last episode when we were talking about Almost Human, I mean, this was a case of a show that had the interesting elements and seemed to take a little bit of time to find its feet, but once it got the characters established and the situations established, it did start developing them in interesting ways. And as we speak, of course, it is actually now finally back. And after it, as you say, it finished up in June, and then had that big announcement at the end saying it would be coming back in June of this year. So we have had to wait a full year. But as the promos started spooling out on Sci-Fi, I have been looking forward to seeing what they do with it, because they did do a good job of setting things up, and even with I do recall having my slight hesitancy about going with the resurrection trope, but he really is the lead of the show, even though they also did a very good job of making it this whole ensemble cast of characters, even though it would have been ballsy to actually take out the guy at the top of the credits and continue on without him, I think that was really the only reservation. And some of the mystery stuff they were introducing in terms of the alien technologies, I thought was decently done, and has me looking forward to it.
Mm. Now, Bronstam, you were a little bit less enthusiastic about it, but even you gave it essentially an average score for the first season. What are your thoughts going into the second season now?
I haven't watched the first episode of the second season yet, but my thoughts on the first season was that it was... It felt a little bit mashed up. The studio wanted Eureka in space. The human characters think they're in Deadwood, and the alien characters think they're in Game of Thrones. and occasionally they would all kind of line up somehow, and it would be, you know, pretty decent. But on the whole, the show is it was never more than, okay. And I'm sort of hoping that going forward it can have a bit more cohesion, a bit better sense of direction.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gary, anything to add to that?
Well, yeah, I agree, and you know, it seemed to me, and while I never actually was one to buy the video game that this is supposedly based on, I had a sense that as the series went on, they started to deviate from that a little bit, or at least not live within its confines, and it seemed like that was starting to make the difference for the show to help it ramp up and improve.
Hmm. yeah, I can't speak to whether or not they are increasing or decreasing the connections to the game. I'm not at all connected to any of that, but either. But yeah, I'd say that we're all looking forward to seeing whether or not they can improve on what they started with. All right, well, we're going to go ahead then and take our mid-show break, and when we come back, we will round out these kind of average-ranked shows, so stay tuned. Okay, and I don't know that any of us are going to be able to really weigh in on this at all, so I'll just kind of throw it out there. Justified Season 5 came in at 7.5, which is actually a drop down of 0.7 points, which is a little bit surprising. The next one I can take, which is The Vampire Diaries Season 5, also came in at 7.5, and that was down 0.1 points. And my main problem with that is that they, number one, got rid of one of the most popular and dynamic characters on the show, apparently for good, and then immediately followed it up with the last 5 or 6 episodes of a really just uninteresting, plotting final arc. So they kind of self-sabotaged this season, which was unfortunate. but not enough for it to drop significantly, just a bit of a downtick. Now, the next show is something that I think the rest of the crew here can speak to a lot better, and that would be Elementary Season 2, which came in at 7.6, which is 6/10 of a point up from its first season, which I know we've had quite a few discussions about why that came in so average. So, Bronze Thumb, here is one that I think you can speak to fairly well.
Mm-hmm. It did improve. I feel like more of the episodes were addressing overarching plot threads and character threads and the kind of stuff that I find more interesting than the basic procedural stuff. I still think the way they handle the basic procedural stuff is a mistake, not just in terms of making an interesting show, but also making an interesting adaptation of Sherlock Holmes. But the actors continue to be great. I thought at the end of the season they really brought me around on the depiction of Mycroft Holmes. I wasn't that crash hot on him at the beginning of the season, but then at the very end with the bait and switch about what he's really up to, I just thought, oh, okay, that's clever. You did well. But yeah, it's not terrible. It's average. It still hasn't grabbed me the way that, the go-to comparisons for this show are still Person of Interest and Sherlock, and this Elementary isn't as good as either of them. But it has the potential to rise higher and to do more with its source material and its format. And I still keep hoping that it does, but it's still not. Hmm. And that's still frustrating.
Okay. Agree? Disagree, Gary?
I agree. I mean, it's still enjoyable to watch, but at the same time, it has been inconsistent for me to some extent, and once in a while, it starts to drift much too much into the procedural for me. What Bronze Thumb said about Mycroft was definitely, yes, they fleshed out the character a little bit more. I don't know how much more it endeared him to me, but I enjoyed the explanation. The ongoing relationship between Watson and Holmes is still developing, and Jane's getting much more independence. As I watch the show, I think to myself, who's there for who? It seems as if Jane has benefited and grown from her relationship much more than Sherlock has. And I'm curious where the talk that they were ending with of her, leaving and sort of the separation of what length that's going to go to. So it was an enjoyable season, and I am looking forward to next season. Could they have done better? I think so.
Hmm. Edmund, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I just want to reiterate that actually while I did like what they were doing with Mycroft at the end, the way it panned out, it really wound up being indicative of some of the problems as well, of where they introduced this element of having him involved with MI6, which was making him much more interesting, but then managed to still step it back and wound up turning the next episode into more of their standard procedurals, even those with MI6 involved. So it was an example of, as Bronze Thumb was saying, of where they could go, but then also the example of where they don't go far enough. And it is a very intriguing contrast with them both being on CBS of it and Person of Interest. And I don't know if it's just a case of Jonathan Nolan being given more latitude, given his stature and pedigree, or if he's just more subversive and sneakier about getting the elements that he wants into his show. It is a case of where the bones are there, but they just don't wind up taking it far enough. And given the caliber of the performances, it's still a show that I enjoy and will continue to watch. But a case where it could be better. I think with the framework they're now stuck with after two seasons, I'm not sure it's ever quite going to get there.
Yeah, the impression that I get from you guys very much is that where Person of Interest, which of course is going to end up on much higher up on our list, where they take a lot of chances, even in the procedural type of format that they often resort to, because that is part and parcel of the show, that Elementary plays it a lot more safe. And that leaves it almost feels like a standard CBS show in that regard, from the way that you describe it. Would that be accurate, Bronstone? I don't think Australia wants to have an opinion on that. Okay.
Sorry, my thing cut out for take there. I didn't hear what you said.
I was just saying that it just feels like Elementary is an example of a show where CBS is trying to keep it kind of safe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think there's definitely an element of that. Because the guy who created the show and some of the writers, they very clearly know their stuff. They're very fluent in the Sherlock Holmes canon. There's so many little references, whole episodes or little bits or whatever. They know the source material that they're adapting. And either they're just very lazy or they're being sort of strangled, you know, held back by the network in terms of making a show that can in some ways be a better adaptation of the mythos of the literary canon of Sherlock in terms of bringing the weirder cases and aspects of Holmes and Watson's lives to the screen.
Mm. Okay. Let's go ahead then and move on to the next one, and it would be Grimm, Season 3. Again, a show that has a tendency to be fairly consistent now, after a little bit of a rough start in its first season. This third season was practically identical in score to last season, 7.7, up a tenth of a point. And Gary, what would you say about Grimm this past season?
I like this show. It's fun. It's really nice. You know, I feel like the characters are regular people dealing with this, and they're not getting freaked out about it. They're not turning homicidal or depressed. They're just handling it as it comes. And while I won't say it's to the point where it's necessarily like a reset every week, they really don't let this stuff sort of get to them. You know, they have a job to do, and you know, if they don't do it, probably no one else will, because they don't really know the problems there. So they take it on, they handle it the best they can. The main character Nick is a police officer, so he's sort of used to righting wrongs in the first place. So it's a nice, comfortable fit. You know, we get to see a nice range of his friends and normal life experiences, like weddings, and we get strangers that pop up that have the similar powers, but have different problems that they've already dealt with. So they're sort of acting almost like a big brother. I guess, you know, there's a big sense of family in this, and you know, it comes up constantly, whether it's Nick's mother coming back into the picture, or we have the whole hierarchy of the Vessin with their European families and royalty and stuff like that. And they keep a good mix, I think, between the small, meaning the single Vessin character of the week, so I guess you'd call it, versus sort of larger plans to either, you know, kill the Grimm or to say, you know, get the baby away from the Adeline character. And they seem to balance it very well. I can't say it's a lopsided series at all. I've really enjoyed the series a lot. And I was one of those people that had a hard time with the first season. If I remember, I was being cajoled to keep watching it back then. And I'm glad I've stuck with it. I think it's really matured into a nice show. Well, what do you think? Do you feel, we've said it's about the same, but I really feel like they're to consistently do well says something also.
Oh, I agree. I mean, it certainly is. It has certainly brought a consistency for NBC on that night. That's for sure. But yeah, it just to me is one of those shows where I feel like I have a pretty good sense of what I'm going to be in for when I you know tune in for each new episode, yet at the same time, it doesn't have what I was just kind of describing or asking about in terms of, say, Elementary, where that's they seem to default back to a safety for the sake of the network. I feel like Grimm, maybe because it's on Friday nights and it's a genre show on NBC and it's a network where anything that's even a modest hit is something that they can't afford to get rid of. So I feel like they can take chances and that they do push the envelope a little bit and they do things a little bit. They do kind of push the boundaries a little bit more and they're not afraid to do things. And that's one of the reasons that I feel like it's on the cusp of going into that above average territory. It's already pretty close as it is. So we shall see. Let's see. The last show that we have on our list right now is going to take us back a little bit. So I'm curious as to whether or not we can really speak to this very well, but this is the way that sometimes things parse out. Mad Men, Season 6. So not the first half of Season 7 that we just watched, but Season 6 came in at a 7.7, but that represented a drop of 8/10 of a point, so almost a full point drop. And I remember that this was definitely a disappointing season for us. So who wants to kind of try to encapsulate maybe what the issues were with that season? Edmund, is this something you can jump in on? Or
yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I saw it was in this slate of average shows, I mean, I was taking my mind back there, and the big thing for me, I mean, season six to me felt like the season where Don was treading water. It was going back to him stuck in the marriage with Megan and having the affair with the neighbor downstairs, and it just felt like, I think given what we've now seen in terms of season seven, I think that may have been part of the point of him just being getting into this rut that we now hope he's going to break out of, but it did not make for the most scintillating viewing, and especially coming on the wake of that season five finale, which had that tour de force closing segment that seemed to be announcing that yes, he was through with the marriage, he was moving on, the whole "You Only Live Twice" ending, and just using that song. I mean, it just seemed to be we're going to see Don on a different trajectory coming into season six, and instead he was just back doing exactly the same things we've been seeing in seasons, you know, in the previous season. So that, I mean, that to me was the biggest disappointment.
Anything that Gary Bronstam, you guys want to add to that?
I think a lot more of my disappointment with Don's backslide, it was more of a character-driven disappointment in terms of having seen this guy go through as much as he have. He's not a particularly nice guy. He's not a particularly good person, but we want to believe that even someone who's not particularly good can sort of become better. And therefore, it's really disappointing to see that, no, he's just fallen back into old bad habits. And I don't know. I honestly, not just because it was the same number season, but I'm having flashbacks to the sixth season of Buffy, and this notion that this